Okay. Okay. Well, this sort of winds up the conference part in Milwaukee. It's been a great conference so far, and I hope everybody's really enjoyed themselves. I've come to 25 of these, and this is probably the best so far. And I'm sure they're just going to keep getting better and better. And we give a lot of credit to Patrick for putting the program together, and Kurt Nock for being conference chair. The subject is facets of phonography, and I'm not sure if I was chosen to chair this because of my anything phonographic card that people keep commenting on. What does that mean? I try to explain it, and I think people are going to know after this afternoon's session's over, because there's some interesting varieties of all the things that have to do with phonographs, other than just collecting them and playing them. Our first speakers, presenters, I've known for many years. They're fellow Michigan Antique Phonograph Society members. They're the ones that were instrumental in creating a Wisconsin chapter of MAPS. Joan and Robin Rolfs enjoy collecting and sharing their knowledge of phonographs and related topics, with a heavy emphasis, I might add, on my favorite dog, Nipper, for over 30 years. They've co-authored a book on phonograph dolls that talk and sing, and they are also authors of the phonograph dolls and toys, which they'll be talking about today. Literally hot off the press, I'm sure many of you have seen the monstrous hard-covered Nipper collectibles book. These books are getting heavier and heavier all the time. That book is actually being released this week, and I think they went on sale last Sunday, right, in New Jersey, and they trucked some in to sell some here. They've written articles for the Antique Phonograph News, Antique Week Magazine, New Ambrolla Graphic, In the Groove, Fox Cities Magazine, The Soundbox, Yesteryear, and so on and so on and so on. They were honored in 2006, right, to receive the MAPS Founding Fathers Award from the Michigan Antique Phonograph Society. I guess there were no women in the founding mothers of that, the first MAPS organization. Joan holds a BS degree in interior and business design, and Robin holds a degree in technology education. They own a company, limited liability company, I might state, called Audio Antique, where they specialize in phonographs, nippers, dolls, et cetera, et cetera. I present to you the Rolfs.
Well, thank you. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be here at the 2007 Ars Conference and share with you our love of phonograph dolls and toys. Because the theme of the conference is Victorians and their music machines, I thought we would dress for the occasion. We wrote a book on dolls and toys to share our knowledge with many of you, and today I would like to take you back to your childhood. As I look upon the audience, I see quite a few men. And I want to assure you that these dolls and toys are not just for little girls. Yes, they're for big boys and girls. In fact, I'm going to let the man in my life introduce you to some of the toy phonographs that are featured in our book.
Thank you, Joel. Ladies and particularly gentlemen, you know, we're in good company, because Thomas Edison, Emil Berliner, Henry Laurier, you know, they all played with dolls. Thomas Edison's invention of the phonograph in 1877 paved the way for the industry that thrived on the appetite for musical entertainment. Yet the very first application of this technology was in the form of a toy, a doll intended to entertain children. Although the idea of a talking doll may have had its merits, the practicality of such an early phonograph application had its shortcomings, and it ended in a tragic failure. It was left to other inventors to perfect the technology of talking dolls and phonograph toys. Somehow introducing the public to the technology of a phonograph proved more difficult than first anticipated. Although the initial interest and curiosity was very high, the cost of a quality product was well beyond the reach of most individuals. And the appeal of a child's toy employing minimum manufacturing costs, as well as minimum sonic quality, that seemed to be the direction of greatest acceptance. Emil Berliner licensed the German firm of Kammer and Reinhardt, the doll-making firm, and they produced a doll containing a small hand-driven disc gramophone in 1889. Later models of the Kammer and Reinhardt Berliner toy gramophone played a 5-inch disc vulcanized rubber or celluloid disc record. By 1896, Berliner had enlisted the services of Eldridge Johnson, young machinist from Camden, New Jersey, and he was to make improved spring motors for the Berliner gramophone. Johnson's improved toy model featured a mechanical governor to better regulate the speed of the hand-operated mechanism. And it's believed that there are four variations of this hand-wind toy machine and produced through 1904. It was an inexpensive way to introduce the public to the disc talking machine. Meanwhile, in the U.S., anxious not to be left behind, Columbia introduced the toy graphophone for the 1899 Christmas trade at the cost of $3. It came with 5 3-inch wax vertically cut inside start records for children. Although it was low in cost, the sales of this machine were extremely limited. Meanwhile, 1893, Henri Laurier in France developed a small phonograph mechanism, and he used this as a talking counter display to advertise Meniere's chocolate. The Stahlwerk Chocolate Company of Germany marketed 2 petite little phonograph mechanisms that played chocolate and wax records. The advertising quote, "It speaks sounds, it sings well, it reproduces all songs with clarity. And when the song no longer pleases, oh well, just savor the disc like you would a simple snack and eat it." The phonograph, the gramophone, talking machine, call it what you like, it all began as a toy-like novelty that caught the attention of the public. And as the technology refined, so did applications to the talking dolls, the toys, and other phonograph accoutrements. They enticed the child in all of us. But since we couldn't possibly bring all the dolls and toys with us, we'll attempt to introduce you to some of the more interesting phonograph dolls by means of a little more modern praxinoscopic device.
Thomas Edison Edison.
I am the Edison phonograph, created by the great wizard of the New World to delight those who would have melody or be amused.
What collection of phonographs wouldn't be complete without a few accessory toys to place upon the turntable and amaze the novice collector? One of the earliest and certainly most popular dancing figures will show up in a moment, and his name is Dancing Rastus. And he's a toy that you put upon your turntable, and he has quite a few friends, such as the Boxers and his lady friend Shamandy. Over 8,800 toys were sold between January and June of 1916, and the company produced over 15,000 more the remainder of that year. Other figures and less popular figures included Uncle Sam kicking Pancho Villa, Uncle Sam kicking the Kaiser, and the Fighting Roosters. Although the talking machine world advertised Uncle Sam in the booze bottle, no example has surfaced for documentation. Then there were the imposters. The National Toy Company also marketed a variation of Rastus sold by the Columbia Graphophone Company. He had wood arms rather than the pressed cardboard, and the box featured a graphanola. Dancing Sam was yet another toy made by the Dancing Sam Company. Then there were the magnetic dancers. Hastings and Smith teamed in 1922 to patent a simple platform with a center spindle that magnetically held a tin template supporting a pair of ballroom dancers. The cardboard couple danced your favorite foxtrot, waltz, or tango that you could play on your Victrola. Then there was this little red-headed Pickett's photo figure. This red-haired British girl dances upon a wood platform. She's 7 inches tall, and this toy is driven by the rim of the turntable. As the turntable turns, this brightly colored girl wiggles and dances to the catchy tune of the day. My favorite are the Charleston dancers. These Charleston dancers will dance their way into your heart. Charlie Chaplin, Cupid, and others, with their hands in their pockets, twirl around on a platform of tin. And now the man is going to introduce his favorite toy.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most popular toys, a most desirable and complicated phonograph toy called Siam Sue. She's like a three-dimensional marionette doll in full dress, and as the ad stated, Siam Sue, she puts the O-O in the graphanola. This toy was made by the Morton E. Converse & Son Company and sold exclusively by the Columbia Graphophone Company. Earlier models of the Siam Sue had some folding legs, while the later model had removable steel rod supports. In May of 1921, Columbia released the record called Siam Sue by the Yerkes Happy Six. It was recorded February 8, 1921, vocal by Frank Crummett, catalog number A3379, and only one take was released.
Well, on with the show, and we're going to talk about the photo movies. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself for the funniest show on earth. See the scarecrow dance, the clown boogie, and Sambo do a shuffle. This toy was advertised in 1921 in the talking machine world and retailed for 98 cents. Then there were the photo vauvettes. This delightful toy with brilliant artwork was manufactured in Covington, New York, Kentucky, and priced at $3.50. The toy consisted of a full stage to be placed on your Edison, Victor, or any disc phonograph, and the performing figures would dance to you. And then it was more on stage with Armorita, the dancing doll. Armorita was the pride of the harem. This dancing girl did something very risque. She showed her belly button. She was made by the Dancing Doll Company of New York, and she shimmied on top of your phonograph. As the ad stated, Armorita shimmies. She shakes her hips at the same time and never gets them out of order. Then there were the phonograph Follies. These were made by the National Company of Boston, Massachusetts. They were marketed in the 1920s and as late as 1935. The Follies sold for $1 for two figures, one comedian that looked a great deal like the comedian of the day, Charlie Chaplin, and the other a dancing girl. For $1.65, you could have a complete set of five figures called a special combination, consisting of a comedian, a dancing girl, a policeman, a clown, and a rube that would pass, quite likely like Uncle Josh. And then the British got on stage in the Matthews Umpire Theater. Yes, for their amusement, they had this Matthews Umpire Theater made in England. This decorative stage was set for entertaining the entire family. They stated a never-ending source of amusement for our boys and girls.
Hey, it's just like the movies. The Kinophone was a gramophone cinema. The toy provided the viewers with motion pictures right in their living room, right on your own phonograph turntable. You could see animated figures that resemble the famous tramp, Charlie Chaplin, Felix the Cat, a child jumping rope, or a lady dancer. And for 5 cents, the family could purchase a movie strip to this 4-in-1 movie viewer, or movie scope, and the zoetrope would be placed on the turntable and the animated movies began. Two new picture strips were released each week for the enjoyment of the entire family. Magic Mirror Movies toy consisted of records and the Magic Mirror Carousel. Animated illustrations are ingeniously synchronized to the music and they're reflected from the record onto the revolving magic mirror. The Red Raven trademark is found on each record. This praxinoscopic device was patented by Porter S. Morgan in 1956, and the records were made through the early 1960s. The action viewer is an imitation of the Magic Mirror movies toy, and this toy was manufactured by Record Pressing and Recording Corporation. Records were made by the Record Guild of America. In 1936, Sears catalog advertised the Mickey Mouse talk ejector for $1.98. The projector had two lenses that projected alternating images simulating animation, but it was no easy matter for the child to operate since, first of all, you had to wind up the key wind mechanism, place the record on the turntable, and then as the show began, the child had to turn the film at a constant rate of speed and coordinated with what was on the record. Then we have a battery-operated toy called a musical toy sound wagon. It travels around the grooves of a 33 1/3 RPM record, and the stylus of the sound wagon tracks the grooves of the record, and as the truck speeds around the circular course of the stationary record, the record is heard through the speaker on the sound wagon. A newer version of the sound wagon returned in 1992. It's called the Hokey Pokey Sound Machine, made by Blue Angel Incorporated. A special party disc record called the Hokey Pokey came with this 1992 version of the toy.
Well, these are just a few of the phonograph toys that were made to delight young and old. These toys were the MTV of the day, and they provided hours of entertainment. If you ever saw these toys in action, I know you would agree. And you know what? That's what we're going to do. We're going to show you these toys in action. We captured some of their antics on film. And so, on with the show. After a brief interview.
Who dare knocking at the door below? Who dare shivering in the hail of snow? I can hear you grumbling, Mr. Rufus Brown. Yes, he's gonna knock and baby, can't come down. I wanna tell you that you can't get in. Have you been a gambling, honey, since you win? Oh, I'll let you tell me when you lost your friend. I hope you're free to suggest. Remember to finish out Billy Bailey, and get wise, nigga, you hear me? Rufus Brown, this Johnson Brown. Oh, what you gonna do when the rain comes around?
Honey, honey, can't be here. Funny, funny music here. Ain't the funny thing going through your brain like a bottle of wine. Fine, fun, fun, take a chance. Warm, single dance. Can't you see them all swaying up the hall? Let's be getting in line. Everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what?
Everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what?
See that ragtime couple over there? Watch them throw their shoulders in there. Snap your fingers, Polly, I declare. It's a bear.
It's a bear.
It's a bear. Bear. Everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what?
Why, everybody's doing it.
Doing it, doing what?
Ain't that music stuck in your heart? Hear that trombone busting apart. Now come,
go,
come,
go.
Let us start. Everybody's doing it.
Pack up your kit and come along with me. There's a party across the sea, and they need your company. The place is all done. Kiss her goodbye, you know that she'll be through. It's near the time to fall in line with a million more like you. And we're all going falling on the Kaiser. All we've got to teach the Kaiser to be wiser. And we'll bring him something good. Ain't Pomona made of wood. We'll hit him well with shot and shell. The crap of a gun, we'll hit him well. We're all going falling on the Kaiser. The English French and gangster
Irish. Charlie was a handsome lad. Big and strong like his dad. When he was something sad, girls would follow him around.
Thank you. Thank you.
some music take us back to a time when life seemed less complex and the pace a little slower. Toys take us back to our childhood when the perception of the world was through the eyes of innocence and delight. So what could be better than having the best of both worlds, discovering phonographs, records, and phonograph toys? Thank you.
Bravo.
That was great. We have some time for some questions, but we got to wait for the microphone, which will be coming in a minute. Rich?
Okay, you were talking about toys for boys, and I'm wondering if you have anything to say about Robbie the Robot from Ideal. I had one myself, and I loved that toy, and I also tore it apart so I could look at the record player.
I still have mine.
Intact, probably.
Yes, it is.
So I wonder if you'd say something about that and if there's any other similar toys based on something other than, say, the doll model, maybe, you know, robot science fiction, that sort of thing. And secondly, I just want to put in a good word for Red Raven movie records. I had them when I was a kid, and they were a life changer because I was interested in both recorded sound and in animation, and that brought it all together.
It has a little record inside, and it says, "I am Robert the Robot, mechanical man. Drive me and steer me wherever you can."
All right. Anybody else with a question at the moment? I'm wondering where the future is going to be, because now that we're all digital, I mean, what do you do with an iPod? And now they sell you five kinds of cases with pictures of Chatty Cathy, but they don't do anything. So.
Well, that's the problem with starting with the Mattel with the Mattel Chatty Cathys and so forth. They became very difficult to maintain and to repair. In fact, because they have a sealed body on the dolls, they literally have to cut them in half in order to get at the mechanism. So the you know, it's a disposable toy. When it doesn't work, like everything else, buy a new one.
I have a question for Robin.
Oh, then you need the microphone.
Does playing with talking toy dolls help you get in touch with your feminine side? I'd like you to answer.
Well, Tim, it's funny you should ask, but
do you have a special story you'd like to share with us?
Well, that's real, real nice, Tim. No, I just know I'm just in good company with all the inventors that started this wonderful hobby.
Well, I'm sure we're all aware of a lot of the animated popular singer dolls. I have the Santa Claus doll and a Louis Armstrong doll that doesn't work. We can't figure out why. But the James Brown is just great. And when he died, we set up a James Brown memorial in our music library at Bowling Green. And we'd be sitting there working, and all of a sudden some student would come up and, "Oh, I feel all right," you know, and they'd be starting to dance, and, you know, and it's still there. We leave it there forever now, you know, so that's wonderful.
But that one has a special chip in it that when the battery goes low and you push it, he says, "I feel bad."
No, the bars come up in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we haven't gotten to your puns yet. Anybody else? Well, thanks very much. I think that was a really great thing. I guess I didn't introduce myself either before, and since we have introductions to introducers, et cetera, for those that don't know me, I'm Steve Ram, and I'm anything phonographic. So.